I was looking back in my thinking to the last time we went to the war, Saudi war, and I was thinking about the spiritual casualties that we had. Our very best tall black soul winner, Ricky. We sent all these fellows over there if we felt like they could be qualified, scripturally qualified by Timothy and Titus and other portions of the scripture, and we gave them we did not ordain them to the ministry, but we gave them a preaching license as they went over to the war. And Ricky was one of them. But I'm thinking about the casualties. He became a casualty. He was our best soul winner. But he got around the Christian House of Prayer group over there. And they were all going, just raise your hands and say, glory, 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 and be for long. Listen, don't tell me. I've been there. I've been taught all this stuff before. I know exactly what they do. I've been at the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. And I went there not to find fault. I got involved with it all. I wanted everything that God had for me in my infancy as a person in the Navy, my time in the Navy. And it's a bunch of wildfire. And I'm here tonight to warn you lest you become a casualty and you come back to Pastor Harvey like Ricky did. And I said, don't you believe in eternal security, Ricky? He said, yes, I do. I said, you know that the Christian House of Prayer group do not believe that you're once saved, always saved. He said, I know that. And so I said to him, I said, this speaking in tongues business, he was saying he could speak in tongues anytime he wanted to. I said, it's not of God. I said, forget it. I said, has it made you a better soul winner, Ricky? Have you won souls to the Lord like you did before you went over to the Saudi war and got involved with their little prayer groups? He just hung his head. I said, I don't want it if it doesn't make me a better soul winner. I don't want anything to do with it. I've written a track against it, about it. And so I want to just briefly tonight, I often in my age and time in the ministry think that everybody knows how to win souls. And they don't. And I somehow take it for granted. We had one fellow in our youth group and his wife had left him, and he was with us for a long time in the singles group, and he was married, but his wife even was living with someone else and giving a baby to someone else. And then at the very last, just before he left here, he was in one of the Bible studies. Remember that? Can't even think of his name now. What's his name? Dan Hunt. Dan Hunt. How many remember Dan Hunt? Dear brother, Dan Hunt. And what we find out is that it was over at one of the people's homes, one of the church people's homes, and he called me on the phone. He was so distressed. He said, Pastor, you mean to tell me I can't get married again? I thought he'd already heard that all out here. That, you know, about remarriage and so forth. In fact, I told him, I said, don't divorce your wife. Just let her go on in her sin. But anyhow, he calls me on the phone, and something I thought that I'd clarified from the pulpit through Scripture. And here I am. I said, brother, the Bible says this and the Bible says this. And I was kind and loving to him. I gave him what Jesus said about divorce, remarriage, and so forth. And he said, would the Lord be that hard on me? And what was I to tell him? I'm going to tell him what the Bible says. I am not changing the Bible for anybody. I'm not doing it. By the way, Christians should never seek a divorce. I don't care. I don't care what it's for. I don't care if it's for bestiality. I'm telling you, Christians have no business filing for divorce for any reason. The thing is that their wives can do it against them, and they can't hardly do anything about it today. Are you with me? Hello? And so we'll pray with them and weep with them. But I'm saying that to say this. I thought that was clarified. How many years was Dan Hunt with us? 2 or 3 years, I'm sure. And I couldn't believe it. And I said to myself, well, you mean to tell me I didn't preach on that? As many other people sure thought I preached on it 3 times as much as I should have. And he still didn't get it. So I'm going to preach to you tonight on this matter briefly of eternal security and the importance of it, and then the matter of this tongues business, which is wrong. This tongue stuff is no good. And I believe this, listen, just because it's wrong, you need to have some idea why and what God says about why it's wrong for today. A lot of our independent fundamental Baptists are against supernatural tongues today, but they don't have one blooming idea why. Because no one else hardly in all of Christendom believed like I do about it. I think John Rice wrote something, and I was surprised that the Lord had enlightened him as he had enlightened me after I went through all that charismaniac stuff. I mean, that's what, they didn't call it the charismatic movement then, it was just Pentecostalism and the tongue-speaking crowd. But I've been in over 100 Pentecostal holiness meetings. Church of God in Christ, and the Pilgrim Holiness groups, and there's others, Assembly of God. I've been in over 100 of those meetings, and maybe many more, when I was all mixed up. But I'm not mixed up anymore. And I don't want you to get over there around those people who are mixed up and not know what you believe. I want you to know emphatically, supernatural tongues today are not, they're not for today. They are not sent from God. And many of the Mormon groups and other groups that are cult groups believe in speaking in tongues. And they're so far from the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's unbelievable. And they believe in tongues, but we don't. And I don't. And by the way, if we'd had a whole group of Pentecostal holiness here, I'd preach on the same thing. Amen? God knows who to have in the crowd. Had these people in New York. They were so worried. I was going to preach on the Mary wasn't God. Well, I'll preach that Mary's not God anytime the Lord leads me to preach about it. And probably we don't say that enough times. And that's not to dethrone her or make her just an average woman. She was not. She was blessed among women to have the Lord Jesus. But I'm telling you, I had the little ladies up there, oh, how can I bring my Catholic friends here when you speak so harshly about Mary? One woman, bless her sweet soul, she was the maid for the priest before she got saved. She even told me about the so-called relative of the priest in there, so forth. Oh, and one time I was coming back, and she was an older woman. It was not for me to rebuke her. And she said, well, we all love Mary, Pastor. We all love Mary. I thought to myself, I don't love Mary. I don't know Mary. I love Jesus. I know Jesus. I don't love Joseph. I don't know Joseph. I don't know Andrew. I don't know Peter. I know Jesus. She'd been around those priests and saying so many prayers to Mary. She said, well, we all love Mary. Well, we do love Mary, but not the Mary. Amen. We love Mary, Sister Mother Mary over here, and our other Mary over here. We love you. But we don't know the Mary of the Bible. She's not personal like Jesus to us. He is our Lord and God. There's only three in the Trinity, and Mary's not the fourth. Amen. But I'm telling you what a battle I had. But it's important what you believed. By the way, first of all, the Bible says that we're saved forever. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That which is started in you, Brother Hugh Wall, it'll go on for all eternity because Jesus comes in to stay for all eternity. Just a little over a year ago, Brother Hugh Wall got saved. And it was just as glorious for you as when I got saved at 16. Because when God comes into you, Christ comes into you, He blows the devil right out of you and sin goes out. No chance for hell anymore. You're in Christ and you're in Christ forever. I want you to know that the Christian House of Prayer group do not believe that. They do not believe you're once saved, always saved, if you truly repent. We believe that around here. And so they, if they preach against sin, which I'm sure they do, then how much sinning do they have to do to lose it? The Methodists believe you can lose your salvation. The Nazarenes believe you can lose your salvation. The Catholics believe you can lose your salvation. The Lutherans believe you can lose your salvation. The Whiskeypalians believe you can lose your salvation. Can you name some others? Some of the Christian Missionary Alliance believe you can lose your salvation, and some of them believe you can't lose your salvation. That's the only group I know of that kind of are both two sides on that. Any Free Methodists, Wesleyan Methodists, they believe you can lose your salvation because John Wesley taught that. Free Will Baptists believe you can lose your salvation. It's the freedom of the will of to depart from grace. That's why they put free will, but they believe it's Baptist doctrine. No, it's not Baptist doctrine at all. Get the Baptist out of that. Just call them free willers. They're not Baptists at all, because Baptist doctrine is that we believe in the security of the believer. When you truly repent and truly get saved, you have Christ forever. The brethren group, some of them teach that once saved, always saved. A number of the Bible churches teach when you're once saved, you're always saved. The Pentecostal groups all believe you can lose your salvation. Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness, Assembly of God, they all believe you can lose your salvation. The Bible Presbyterians believe you're once in grace, you're always in grace. The true Bible Presbyterians like Billy Sunday, those of yesteryear. I don't know what the liberal Presbyterians hold to. They need a Bible. I'm talking about the Bible Presbyterians. And generally Presbyterian, which came from John Calvin. Most of them believe that if you're truly saved, you're saved forever. And then some brethren groups. Those are the only ones. All those other groups believe you can lose your salvation. Anyone else think of some verses? Oh, they're all through the Bible. But I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life begins, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You get it when you believe, when you repent, and you believe on Christ, you get everlasting eternal life, because Christ is everlasting and eternal, and he comes in for all eternity. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What about the verse there? He says to those on his right, enter into the joy of thy Lord. What does he say to those on his left? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness. I never knew you. He cannot say that to me. He does know me. And he knows you. What does he say? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And they follow me. My sheep follow me. And another, will they not follow, the Bible says. He gives us eternal life, and so we're saved forever. See? Otherwise, Brother Hugh Wall, if you'd have been in a different, your son or your daughter-in-law, when you called on the phone, she might have rejoiced, but then she maybe thought she'd have lost it by now. She said, oh, Evan will be doing handsprings in heaven over the fact that you got saved, because they teach you're saved once you're saved by grace, you're saved forever. Baptist doctrine is good doctrine. By the way, I'm a Baptist because I believe Baptist doctrine. We believe in baptism by immersion. We believe that you don't use the real stuff in our communion. I believe that's Baptist doctrine, whether other people believe it or not. The Lutherans and all the rest and the Catholics use the real stuff. Now, the Pentecostals normally do not, because they one time preached against alcohol consumption. I don't know what they preach against anymore. All these Pentecostal people want to do is get in church and just have a good hooping time. And just praise the Lord. Well, you can't praise the Lord right until you clean your life up and at least yield yourself to Christ for him to take over. I believe these churches are full of unconverted people. And I'm not saying that our churches that are independent Baptists don't become that way as well, because you always have young ones growing up. So you know they're not saved until they get saved. Amen? Hello? Oh, didn't hear too many amens on that. You got to believe in total depravity too. That's Baptist doctrine, by the way. That's Presbyterian doctrine, by the way. Total depravity. And some in the sword of the Lord crowd need to wake up about that. Total depravity. I don't say it's defined like Calvin defined it, but I know one thing, you're totally depraved. No one had to teach you how to sin. You kind of knew how to do that. Talk back and scrap and fight and be so selfish and egotistical and sly and devilish. Just comes natural, doesn't it? Not how to be godly, not how to fear God and walk with God and talk for God. I want you to know when you get saved, you're saved forever. You don't have to keep Him. He's keeping you. We're in His hand, the Bible says. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's a wonderful truth. I hope you appreciate the fact, as all those churches I told you about. There's a great big Christian house of prayer, the other one in the other town. And boy, you go around all these people, the great percentage of the people, you better thank God for the Baptist churches. They may not be all as straight as they ought to be, but most Baptist churches, most of them teach the security of the believer. You better thank God for it. Whether they're independent Baptist, Southern Baptist, or what they are, Baptist doctrine is, I'm saved once, I'm saved forever. That's after true repentance and true conversion. Second thing is this matter of tongues. This is a very important thing. You need to get settled on this tonight. You need to get a few things settled in your mind tonight about tongues. You know why? They'll get you next. Because people like enthusiasm. A great percentage of the people that walk into our church think that our music is dead, but they need to come alive in Christ. We had a fellow just the other week, and he said, is that all the instruments you have up here? He wanted the drums and the bass guitars and the other guitars and all the other things. He wanted the big boom box sticking out here. I'll tell you what, we don't need that junky music in our church. I just went over there and witnessed to a girl and gave her the new birth track, the Simple Plan of Salvation track, and one of those booklets of John and Romans. And I'm telling you, I never heard such filthy, trashy, junky, garbage, cursing, filthy music coming out of that girl's car. It was awful. She resides over there at the 13th Coscom area. And as I gave her the little booklet, I said, this is from the Holy Bible. We're praying for you as you go over to the war zone. Here's something from the Bible. And immediately she went around she thanked me for it, went around to the side of the car and changed the radio station. It was some of the most, it was so bad that I wondered if it was, no offense, but I wondered if it was a Caucasian girl that was playing such trash. And that was her car and her radio. I thought she was helping some other trashy man that would listen to such filth. But it was her car. And then I said to Nathan, I said, wouldn't you like to marry her? I said, even if she gets saved, I don't know if you get all that trash out of her. Now, what I told you? Who needs a girl like that? We need girls, if anybody, ought to be pure and clean in their thinking. And was it not trash, Mr. Nathan? You could hear it all the way across there. Filthy trash. I've never heard such junk out of a radio song. It was so filthy, it just made me sick. I guess she thought it was filthy too, because the Reverend came on the scene with the Holy Bible, and all of a sudden she felt dirty, and was I glad. But I was surprised that a girl would delight so much in that filth and have it up to such a tempo you could hear it all the way, all those barracks. Nathan was a long way off. Just trash. And they want to keep us from giving out gospel tracts. You better get that junk off. She's influencing everybody that walks out of their buildings all around that 13th Coscom. And they better get their act together. They better take notice that they're prejudiced against our Bible. They'd even let her for 5 seconds play such junk.
And I'm sure they play those same songs right over there at our sports dome. And what gives them a right to have R-rated filth over in our theater on our fort? My tax money built that theater and yours. My wife says, don't get too upset today. Well, I saved it for tonight. Wasn't I gracious this morning? I can't believe how dignified and nice I acted this morning when we had such visitors here. But that was the morning, and this is tonight. I hate sin with a passion. And I'll tell you, because Pastor Harvey hates sin, that would even crop up in our own lives, but especially wickedness like that, your children and your grandchildren will benefit from it. If the Lord doesn't come back in the next 200 years, I'll tell you, all of your posterity will profit from this strong preaching from Pastor Harvey, Brother Snodderly, and any other person that comes here to preach. It's an awesome thing to preach the Word of the living God. This matter of tongues, let me give it to you if I can briefly. There is no such thing as supernatural tongues today. There are tongues today, but they are known languages that are unknown to some people because they haven't learned them. Most of you in here are not fluent in German or Spanish or anything else other than Korean, probably. Here's two ladies that are fluent in Korean, but even their offspring are not, are they? Right? So there is such a thing as an unknown tongue. It's sure unknown to me. Korean's unknown to me. How many of you know Korean language and you can speak it like Miss Heeshung and our sister over here, Mrs. Williams? How many can speak that? That's an unknown tongue to you. That's exactly what that means in the Bible. It's unknown to us. It's not unknown to them. Boy, they just... Huh? And it's nice, so nice probably for them to have each other that they can just talk in their native tongue as they're able. And then they have their Korean fellowships and they can just... in their own language. Right? Come on now. You'd like that if you were a Korean man. Or if you were a Spanish person, you get around your own people once in a while. And that's just the way. That's an unknown tongue. But ye shall receive power. Boy, the Lord has been giving me this verse coming back for days now. And now I know why I was given it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you know that, the city, the holy city? And in all Judea, and in Samaria, that's where the half-breed Samaritans were, the Samaritan woman, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Four places, right? All four of those places and times are in the Scriptures. That's when they had Pentecost, it was at Jerusalem. They were all gathered together in the upper room. After the Passover, when Jesus died on the Passover, 50 days later is Pentecost. Just like you recall, and I won't get into this greatly, but here's the Passover lamb was slain in Egypt. The blood was painted on the doorpost and the lintel, and they came out under the blood. 50 days later, here they are at the giving of the law of God on Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up, and that's their first Pentecost. 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection, the offering up of the lamb at Passover, Jesus died exactly on the Passover, and so they get the law of God from Moses on Mount Sinai 50 days later. So Jesus dies, the Passover lamb, 50 days later. You remember he appeared to them for 40 days, and he was seen of over 500 at one time. Then he ascended on the 40th day, he ascends to heaven and he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They wait 10 days from 40. They wait 10 days in the upper room having a prayer meeting for 10 days. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the 50th day, the Holy Ghost comes on them just like Moses got the law. God wrote the law in their hearts and saved 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And here's what happened, though. They all spoke in a tongue, a language. They were gathered together at this Pentecost when Jesus, 50 days from the time Jesus died, here they're waiting 10 days in the upper room. The day of Pentecost has fully come. They were gathered together from every nation under heaven for the feast of Pentecost. Are you with me? For the feast of Pentecost, because ever since the coming out of Egypt under the blood, they had been celebrating the Passover and Pentecost every year after that, right up until the Passover lamb Jesus died, and then 40 days he ascends to heaven, and then he said, I'll send you another comforter. The other comforter came on Pentecost. And they were gathered together for this feast from every nation under heaven. The Bible says, names them in Acts. And what happened is, how are they going to converse with these people from every, that are Jews, from every place under heaven, gathering together for the Jewish Pentecost? And most likely they were all there for the Passover 50 days earlier. They'd come for that most likely as well, if they were real good Jews. Well, they how could they hear but in their own language? God wanted to speak to them in their own language, not the Hebrew and the Greek language. He wanted to speak to them in their own language and give them the Word of God and give them and to evangelize them and cause them to be saved. For the work of the Holy Spirit is to get people to Jesus. The Holy Ghost's job is to exalt Jesus every time. He doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of Christ. The Holy Spirit. So the tongues of fire come upon them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and abides on them. And here the men, or Peter and the other men, they speak and they tell these people in their own language the wonderful works of God, and 3,000 get saved. Now, was that a miracle? Yes, because Peter didn't know those languages, and the others did not learn those languages. That was a supernatural miracle. Totally supernatural situation. Are you with me? They spoke in a tongue. They said, are these men full of new wine? It's but the certain hour of the day. How come we hear them, everyone, in our own tongue? Peter didn't know this language. How in the world? He's speaking in Aramaic or this one, that. Or I don't know what he knew, but he was speaking a language he'd never learned before. And others were. 3,000 got saved. By the way, I do not believe that God just changed their hearing. Some people say, God changed their hearing. No, the miracle was they were speaking in a language they'd never learned before. That's what my Bible says. The only thing is, we need to realize and get in our thinking, is this a perpetual, ongoing thing of the speaking in tongues? No, it's not. But it did happen 4 times in the Bible. To fulfill Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. At Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The first time was Pentecost. That was at Jerusalem in the upper room. Because that's where the Jews gathered together for Pentecost. Now, what's the next one? These are supernatural things to prove to the Jews that God is not just going to give salvation and the Holy Ghost to just Jews, but he's going to give it now to those, not just those of the 12. He's going to give it to someone else. Because there, the Bible says that in chapter 10, that Cornelius, well, let's go to Samaria. We'll just go to Samaria. And they go to Samaria, and what does it say in Acts 8? It says down there that Philip was down there. And he had to wait for the apostles to come. By the way, Peter or Paul are always present when the Holy Ghost was given. The apostle to the Jews or the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. So Peter is present for 3 of these times. And then Paul is present at the one at Ephesus, the 4th one. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me. What? At Pentecost? In Jerusalem. All Judea. That is, I'll just go to the third one there. That is Cornelius' household. That was in the furthest part of Judea. Judea. That is Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier. And you look at in Acts 10, and he heard them speak. He said, who can forbid water to these who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, for we've heard them speak. They saw the sign. The sign was they spoke in a foreign language as the Holy Ghost was given, to prove to those stubborn Jews that God's going to give the Holy Ghost and salvation not only to the Jews at Jerusalem. That was no biggie. God favored the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. All the 12 were Jews. But now he's going to even give the Holy Ghost to what? Cornelius and his whole household and those that were gathered together? Why, he's a heathen. No, the Bible said he's a devout man. But then it says in that 11th chapter there that he got saved, you see. Remember how that Peter was sent for? Peter comes in and the Holy Ghost comes upon them and he said, well, who can forbid water? Who can forbid that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Ghost as well as we? For we've heard them speak with tongues. And by the way, getting back to Acts 8, that's Samaria. Acts 8 is Samaria. Okay? Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria. What happened there? I believe they spoke in tongues there. It does not say they did in Acts 8. But I know one thing. Simon, the sorcerer, who'd bewitched them, he wanted to buy this gift. He offered them money, and Peter was there, right? Peter was there. Because Philip was down there, but he had to wait for Peter and John to come. Because only Peter, what did he say to Peter? And I will give unto thee the keys. Peter got the keys, friends, to open the gospel up to the Jews at Pentecost, to the half-breed Samaritans at Samaria, half-breeds. To open the, and Peter was there for Cornelius' household in Acts 10. And I believe all three times they spoke in tongues, supernatural tongues, to prove to them. And they said they've received the like gift just like we have because they remembered Pentecost. Are you with me? They heard him speak in tongues. They said, oh, how can we better baptize these people. God does this for Gentiles now? Uncircumcised Gentiles? No, there's neither Greek nor Jew, Scythian, bond nor free, male nor female, but Christ is in all. Amen. The priesthood's giving out. It's a transition period. Now God's going to give the Holy Ghost, and they all, even women, are going to be priests now. Oh, up till now, no women were priests. Hello. When the Holy Ghost gets in women, they're priests. Okay, the fourth one is in Ephesus in Acts 19. And there Paul, it says that they spoke in tongues as well. And there's no more need now because that's fulfilled. There's no more need for supernatural tongues anymore. But there's still the tongues, the natural tongues, the Korean and the English. There's a lot of people in this world don't know English, though it is the international language. A lot of people still don't know English. Or we wouldn't have any trouble evangelizing in any country. But we don't know their language. They don't know us. Ours, therefore, there's that unknown tongue. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? Just get this. I know I'm giving you a Bible, but I'm trying to get you to just see that we don't believe in supernatural tongues for today. But that happened four times in fulfillment of Acts 1:8. By the way, that was always miraculous every time. Then we go over to Corinth now. Let's go over to Corinth. Church at Corinth. That's where it's mentioned in 12, 13, and 14. Even in 13, I show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What does it say over there in chapter 12, 13, and 14? It says, seek unto the better, the most excellent gifts. I show you a more excellent way, the way of charity. What they were doing at Corinth, and the Holy Ghost had to, through Paul's letter, he rebuked them for speaking in tongues, for women were speaking in tongues in the church. What were they doing? They were speaking in languages they enjoyed, and men were getting up and speaking in a language like, it would be terrible, though we love Mrs. Williams and Mrs. Strickland,
We love them in the Lord, yet we're not going to let one of their friends, I don't care if Mrs. Williams's brother was the greatest preacher that ever walked over there in Korea, or Sister Heeshong, she might have an uncle and he can preach the stars out of the heaven, but not around here without an interpreter. Well, we'd be glad to have one of their godly relatives, not a woman, of course, because they're against that. Amen? But the Corinthian church was the most worldly church. They were mixed up in incest in chapter 5. They were divided up in chapter 1 and 2. They were all mixed up on everything. They were taking each other to law, the Corinthian church. So no wonder they'd be mixed up on tongues. And what they were doing is they were getting up and they were preaching in the assembly. Say they knew Spanish. How many of you know Spanish fluently here? Okay, that's only one? Wow, you're in worse shape than the... No, she's good in English. Oh, two! Oh, so we have the same number. We have two that know Spanish fluently, and we have two that know the Korean fluently. By the way, there's others that know a little bit and don't know fluently. Know it fluently. But do you get what I'm talking about? So what we'll do, we'll have a Spanish speaker. If we can't get one of their relatives that's godly, we can sure find a Spanish fellow that he can preach the stars out of the heavens in Spanish, but not in this pulpit, because everybody has to be edified. Unless we use an interpreter. That would be okay. Well, there was no mention in Acts of an interpreter because there was no need for an interpreter. Everyone heard in their own language because the people preached. And God supernaturally gave them a supernatural language. Now that over in 12, 13, and 14, it's a learned ability. And it is very much, say you were here, and even if you're an interpreter, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Paul's speaking there. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. It means known languages. Whenever you see tongues there, it means a known language. There is no such thing in the Bible about some heavenly language that only God knows about. That is foreign to the Pentecostals. And it's a bunch of junk. It's not in the Bible. There's no such thing as some spooky thing that comes upon you like they told me. Oh, just get up and say a bunch of words and it'll come on you. I don't want anything coming on me. Amen. I don't need any of that stuff, that spooky stuff. God's Holy Spirit is warm, and there's nothing thinking about anything demonic when God comes on the scene. Yeah, and I'm not saying that all these Pentecostals are filled with demons. I didn't say that. If you thought that, that's your business. I said I don't believe that. However, there are a lot of them. They're not living right, and they supposedly can speak in tongues, and all these women are spouting off in those churches with tongues. Supposed tongues. But I'm getting back to the languages. That is in operation today. If we have a Korean lady comes in here and she doesn't know hardly any English at all, we've had it happen before, we just get Mrs. Williams as quick as we can or Mrs. Heeshong and say, go get them. And we find some Spanish people come in here, we'll go get Jamie or go get Mrs. Shea and say, we can't do a thing with them. They can't understand. If they came right from the country, they couldn't understand a word I'm saying. What am I going to do them any good? Unless I would have Mrs. Shea there and my wife here, and my wife is telling Mrs. Shea, but she's a good soul winner. She can do her own. But if she wasn't, then you could do it through her. But for the assembly it's talking about, the church, you have to have an interpreter. You can't get up there. Say there's 15 people given morning, and 15 people are Spanish-speaking people. And the preacher up here, he knows Spanish, and he knows English. And he gets up, and 75 or 100 of the people, all they know is English. And he gets up and preaches in Spanish without an interpreter. Paul said under inspiration, sit down and be quiet. The church is not getting edified. Everything must be done unto edification. Are you with me? That is speaking in a foreign language, but it's not supernatural. But it is difficult to convey truth to people. By the way, Brother Waldrop, where our group is going down, I guess, in a couple weeks. And down there, I was down there one time. Brother Bill Waldrop knows the Spanish and the English.
And because he had a little church that had a lot of Spanish people in it, it was like fifth, our little group and the other group, and they were about half and half. So what did he do? He did like they did in Corinth. He didn't use an interrupter. He didn't use an interpreter. He just gave some in Spanish. Then the same thing in English and Spanish and English and Spanish and English and Spanish and English. And that's exactly what happened in Corinth. And by the way, he had learned the language, and that's the only one that's present today. The supernatural tongues are not in operation today. Why? Because all four times are fulfilled already. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Acts 2. All Judea, Acts 10, Cornelius' household. And in Samaria, Acts 8, when Simon wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. And unto the uttermost part of the earth, Ephesus with the Apostle Paul. And that's the end of it. That's fulfilled. There's no more. By the way, there's no mention in Acts of an interpreter being needed because there was none needed. Are you with me? It was a supernatural. God never corrects his miracles. So that in Corinth is not a miracle. Like the miracle in Acts of tongues is not the... It's always languages, but I'm saying the miracle in Acts is not the same in Corinth because there was correction said. You have to do it one at a time and that by course. Women cannot do it at all. Follow? And you have to have an interpreter that the church be edified. There was no interpreter in Acts. No need for it. God, when God does a miracle, a complete miracle, it's just wonderful. No need for any direction or correction. You tell me one place in the whole Bible where any miracle, total miracle, is corrected by God. Never is. Therefore, the tongues in Corinth could not be totally miraculous. You do have to pray that God would give you the right words if you're an interpreter. You follow? To get it from English to the Koreans, from English to the Spanish, or if the man's speaking from Spanish to the English. By the way, we've had this happen. We've had people get up and sing in Spanish. That's okay. But don't sing all four verses in Spanish. Nobody will be edified. Don't sing 10 verses in Spanish or 10 verses in Korean. We've had Korean girls that could sing very well. And they got up and sang, but we told them, please, you, even though the English is difficult for you, if you're going to sing, you have to sing a couple of those stanzas in English. I don't care if they know the tune, we want the words too. Hello? How many of you ever been down in places of a different foreign language and you're sitting there and you get almost nothing? It's very difficult to be satisfied in your spiritual man if you don't know one word of Spanish. And I've gone down to their preaching services. No. If you have an equal group or something, you have to have an interpreter or you cannot talk, you cannot preach at all because someone's going to get discouraged and left out. And none of God's children should be left out. You get the difference between Acts and Corinth now? Though that which took place in Acts 2 was totally miraculous. And in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, and Acts 19, all four times it was miracle. And it's all fulfilled now and there's no more tongues, no more supernatural tongues at all anymore. No need for it. Why? Now the Jews know God's going to give the Holy Ghost and salvation not only to Jews at Pentecost, but to half-breeds, Samaritans. He's going to give it to even Gentiles, a centurion, Roman soldier, and his family and friends. And he's going to give it to those people at Ephesus. Diana, worship Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. Now the gospel had gone and the miracle had been portrayed. By the way, every time that happened, Jews were present with Peter or Paul to prove to the Jews, not just to Peter or Paul, but to all of them that God's going to what? The sheep vision had to come down three times for Peter before he went to Cornelius' household. He said, I won't eat that hog meat. And what God has cleansed, that call thou not common or unclean. He goes down there and they're getting the same thing. Why? I heard them speak in tongues. They got the same Holy Ghost gift that we got. But there's no need for that anymore. No need for supernatural tongues, and there are no more supernatural tongues today. You said, who said so? Preacher Harvey said so. And the Bible says so. And you better not get caught up with all these charismaniacs. Their works are growing like wildfire. And that's all it is, a bunch of wildfire. They don't talk about getting people saved anymore. All they talk about is, have they spoken in tongues yet? And then you go up as a pastor and you've led more souls to them than they've ever thought about leading to Christ. D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Tory, none of them spoke in tongues, but they sure knew how to win souls, didn't they? Preached the stars out of the heavens, but no tongues. And those Pentecostals say, oh, well, Pastor Harvey or Brother Williams, you know, if you get the Holy Ghost, you'd understand. You pompous idiot. Read your Bible. That's what they talk. That's the way they talk to you, brethren. That's the way they've talked to me. Oh, if you'd speak in tongues, oh, it just opens your eyes and you just know everything. Oh, you are really talking to God. Who are they talking to before they don't do that? Thank you. As Sheffy says, well, who do you talking to? I said to Sheffy, you're just like you're talking to God. The man who was over the ministerial assassination of that day. And Sheffy said, well, who do you talk to when you pray? Who do they think I'm talking to? Who do they think other people talk to who don't claim to speak in present-day supernatural tongues? None of our missionaries claim that, and we don't want them to claim that. If they do claim that, they're a missionary of us no more. By the way, I want you to know that Big Ricky, who was our best soul winner, he stayed till 4:30 in the morning, and he stuttered terribly, but he knew how to win souls because he saw a Curtis Hudson video, and he went just according to the video on how to lead souls to Christ. And if you'd find out how to do it, just keep doing it. Somebody gets saved for you too. But you know, when he came back in those Christian House of Prayer group, all of them got a hold of him, and we couldn't fellowship anymore. He wasn't winning souls anymore. He was involved with wildfire and he'd lost the real fire. I hope he has it back, but it sure destroyed our fellowship with him. He didn't want to come to a church anymore that had the real soul winning power. He'd go over to the lesser church and all they do is speak in tongues and have a good time and let the women do all their stuff and believe you can lose your salvation after you get it. And believe in women preachers. Huh? That's what all those churches do. Pentecostals. Well, they believe in women preachers. They believe in faith healing. I like what one brother said. Just take them over to the VA hospital. They'd all like to get well. And they start flinching. You say, well, I don't think your faith healing is quite all you make it out to be. For Jesus healed them every one. Peter healed them every one. They just wanted to get under his shadow and be healed. Because that power came from the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him power to heal. And just like the supernatural tongues is not in operation today, this faith healing business is not in operation today. Do you know the Bible says that Paul was given special miracles? Even of the 12, and then Paul came later, of course, he was given special miracles. We only hear about them trying to get under the shadow of Peter. Maybe it was with the other apostles, maybe not. But I know one thing, they wanted to get under Peter's shadow. Doesn't say anything about John's shadow or any of the others. And Paul even had special miracles where they took cloths to the people and they got saved. It was kind of like the Old Testament days. You say, has God changed? No, God cannot change. He's eternal. But he works in different ways his wonders to perform. And I want you to remember something. You said you've already said that two or three times. I want you to know that Pastor Harvey has been through all this wildfire and there are no supernatural tongues today. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they've experienced. I don't care how ecstatic they are. They're wrong. And false teaching will destroy fellowship with Ricky and myself, and it's of the devil all the way. It stinks in the nostrils of God. this supernatural tongues of these women popping up and speaking their mouth off. It's of the devil. I didn't say every one of them are lost going to hell. I didn't say that everything, the time they speak, they might think they're doing right. I'm not saying there's a lot of stupid people in this world that haven't read enough Bible. Their pastors encourage such spurious foolishness. I want you to know it's of the devil, though. Anything that would cause breaking fellowship with one of our church members who was our best soul winner, it cannot be of God. You say, well, what about that, Pastor Harvey? Ricky said he could speak in tongues anytime he wanted to. I said, has it helped you with your soul winning? He ate, drank, and slept soul winning before he went over to the Saudi war. And he came back with his supposed supernatural tongues, which did him no good at all. No, I'd rather have the real power of God. Kind of strange when you talk about it, isn't it? Huh? Maybe it's like Pastor Hammond's mentioned about suicide being demonic. I'm telling you, the supernatural tongues for today, it's definitely demonically promoted. It definitely came from the devil. It either came from God or the devil. And if these groups, they take you over to Africa and everything, they all speak with tongues too. A lot of these groups, you just leave it alone. You make sure your tongue is praising God in the proper tongue. It's praying and witnessing. And then we have to be sure that we make sure everybody in the church gets edified. Well, our time is about gone. But you're a good audience. But you better listen to what I say, or some of you will get snagged by someone. Some of you will marry, some of you girls will marry some fellow who's a Pentecostal. Or some of you young fellows, you'll get all excited about some girl who's a Pentecostal, because they're everywhere. Right? I think Jamie was too, weren't you? Now the Lord straightened your brain out, now you're winning souls. Amen? Amen. You stay away from that wildfire. And you know, I've got to say this sincerely to you. When I was in it, I was not there to find fault at all. I was so involved, you wouldn't believe. But, oh, I left off my soul winning. I just did like Ricky. I was winning souls, and then I got around Portsmouth, Virginia, and got over the Assembly of God churches where they had real fire, and I wasn't winning anybody to the Lord. I wasn't praying like I did before either. I've got some other bad things to say that I won't bother telling you about some of their instrumentalists. Their lifestyle was not right. No. Anything that's of God would encourage you to win more souls and pray more and make sure your personal relationship to God is right. So stay away from the wildfire and seek the true fire. By the way, don't you think the Holy Ghost would tell them that they're once saved, always saved too? Don't you think the Holy Ghost, if they'd read the Bible, would tell them that faith healers are fakes, many of them? Not all of them, but some of them are fakes. And women preachers. How many women preachers have you met lately? In the last 3 years, how many have met a woman preacher in the last 3 years on your deputation, soul winning? I'd like to see your hand. Raise it up real high. Could I see it? Look, I see an awful lot of hands. I see 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Well, I'm a woman preacher too. You ought to just say, well, that's a shame. That's a shame, because that's against the Bible. And don't say it frivolously, say it sincerely. And she'll look back at you and say, what'd you say? I say, it's a shame, because the Bible says a woman should not teach nor preach nor usurp authority over a man, but to learn in subjection. If she'd ask anything, let her ask her husband at home. For it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church, and surely that has reference to an authoritative speaking. And any woman behind the pulpit, she's in charge. I said, she's in charge. Is it not abominable in our army, all these women? I go out there to the manifest, and here's some little sawed-off, squatty woman that ought to be home with her children, nursing her babies. Hey, man, preacher. She's out there commanding the whole group. Have we lost our sanity? We've lost it. We've lost it in 8 years of that previous president, and before that we lost it. Amen? Amen. Men are to glory in their strength. Women, they glory in their beauty. So men that are so particular that their hair is done, they are about done. And women who are glorying in their masculinity, their muscles, their strength, it's sickening. And I hope it never becomes natural to me. I hate it. Women, I was taught when I was a boy in the 50s and growing up in my little young age, that women, you're supposed to hold the door for the women. You're supposed to pump the gas for the women. You're supposed to carry the big heavy packages in for the ladies, the women, the mothers. Now, the wife says, George, change all their diapers and fix the dinner, and I'm going out with the girls for a few hours. Makes me sick. It's unnatural. And don't forget, George, to do the dishes. I wouldn't put up with that long. Prophecy, great, great prophecy probably coming out of our little Sarah there. You be a little lady. Train her up to be a little lady. She's embarrassed now. The preacher embarrassed her, but she shouldn't have said it. But it's all right, honey. We're in church. We all love Sarah. Amen. That's Sarah. That's her right name. I've got to get these kids all straight. Yes. And you don't want to have too many children. They might just be a blessing in your home. And when you get old, they might come up and take care of you in your old age. Don't have too many blessings. Don't have too many children. Just get all these operations done so you can't have any more kids. And in 10 years, then you get real old and nobody's there to help you. And you need help and you haven't had any children because you listen to those bunch of devils and those doctors who don't know anything about anything. When I was in the Navy, I was under a doctor, and he had about 7, 8, 10 kids. Dr. Stebbins. And he had time for his kids. He had time to go to church, too. And boy, he knew his book, though, as he went down in the surgery. I know I got on him, but I'm telling you, he was the only doctor I ever know. We're going through the subcutaneous tissue now. We're going past this nerve, this thing. He read the book all the way in and all the way out. I think I'd rather have him than some of these guys that are talking about golf and everything else while they're doing all these menial operations. Just give me Dr. Stebbins. Maybe he won't leave something inside of me like a hemostat or some sponges and stuff like that, foreign matter in me. Or he might... You know, I think he was so meticulous, I don't think he'd take the wrong organ out, you know, or take the wrong leg off, you know, like they do at times today, or give them the wrong medicine. Did you hear about that just about two or three months ago, within the last two months? And they said, we'll never do that again. Well, that's right, but what about the person you already did that? Didn't they take the wrong limb off or something? They got mixed up. They do so much cutting. You ought to see what surgery's about. You better thank God you're in as good shape as you are. I used to work in there. It's just like a conveyor belt. I'm serious. They were always checking their name, make sure, is this the right patient? That's how well the doctors know the patients today. Who is this person? I never met him. Oh, okay. Someone could put the wrong tag on your thing and then you'd be, you know, they'd take the wrong thing out of you. Tell you later it's all done. What are you going to do? You know, just because someone didn't tag you right. Oh, you better learn how to pray before you go under the knife anymore. Amen? All right. Well, I don't know what that was. That was so we'd all leave with a little cheery smile. But you better stay away from those Pentecostals. They'll ruin you. And you'll turn against Pastor Harvey, but you'll not only turn against Pastor Harvey, you'll turn against Pastor Hammonds. And you'll turn against Mrs. Hammonds because she's closely related to that fellow. And she doesn't believe in supernatural tongues. And so you can't come back and be around the Bullhorns because they don't believe in supernatural tongues. So you know what you do? You forsake the ones that loved you and gave you a preaching license and sent you over to Saudi and sent you every tape, and you come back because you got wrapped up in groups that don't believe in eternal salvation, eternal security, and don't believe in the tongues the right way the Bible says. And pretty soon you have to forsake your old friends and the new friends. But you know what Ricky told me? He said, I said, don't you believe in once saved, always saved, Ricky? He said, yes. I said, you know they don't. He had nothing to say. I said, don't you think the Holy Ghost would have taught them the right thing about that if he taught them the right thing about tongues? No answer. And no fellowship with your best soul winner. Isn't that heartbreaking? So that's why you got the message tonight, so that we won't have any casualties in this war. You better stay around the tapes that we send you and the teaching that we send you and the ones you can find, many or few. And if you can't do that, then you start your own and invite them to hear you preach or teach or get them around the tape over there. Say, I've stayed away from that charismaniac crowd. They're going to hurt me and they'll hurt you. They'll get you thinking, boy, they're so excited. They must have something I don't have. And there you go. There you go. Our Father, bless, we pray thy word. Help us, Lord, to stick by the things. May we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. May we adhere to the doctrines. May we not, dear, may we realize there are false prophets and false doctrines all around us. May we adhere to the truth. Now, dear Lord,